All right. Thank you, folks. What a good message and song. Beulah Land. It seems more real and more precious all the time, don't it? It's the brother and sister team singing there, doing a great job. Amen. Appreciate it very much. Why don't you open your Bible this morning to the book of Acts. We want you to go to Acts chapter 19. I'm going to have to paraphrase the story a little bit for sake of time. I'm going to preach on the subject, useful idiots. That was not my first title, but I found out that the fake news media, CNN, had outlawed the word mob. I wanted to preach on lynch mobs. Then I thought a good substitute for that was useful idiots. So that's what we'll ask the tape room to put on the message up there. Acts chapter 19. You know, in the old Western movies, we got Roundup Sunday, we've dressed Western, we're having a little fun with it. Old Western movies had a lot of truth, you know that? I told Hector a while ago, I said, you a bad guy, you got on a black hat, I got a white hat. Remember that from the movies, amen? Anyway, we learned a lot of things from them. If there's any one thing we hated in the movies, it was the lynch mob. It was somebody being hanged that was innocent, falsely accused of rustling or something else, and they hung the wrong man. And I never did like to see that even as a kid, and I don't like to see it today, whether it's an actual hanging or some kind of high-tech hanging that we've seen here not long ago. You know, sheriffs feared that sort of thing. Good sheriffs did. When the mob would take over and raid the jailhouse. Now, this actually happened a few years ago, and it's happened more than one time. There were some missionaries down in the hill somewhere, mountain somewhere of Mexico in a village. And they came through, and the fake news had got ahead of them. Somebody had lied and said Americans was coming down and stealing Mexican children. And so a mob met them in the street and stopped the car and it was beating them up and all that under that accusation. And the law of the town, the sheriff we'll call them, came and tried to take them and for their own protection put them in jail. But the mob broke in jail and broke them out and killed them. That's a fact not too old. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. But you know, in the Bible, you find some mobs showing up. Probably the one that you'd be most familiar with would be the mob that cried out, crucify him, away with him, we'll not have this man reign over us. But the Apostle Paul had mobs go after him often. And here in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, we'll make a little reference to one of these cases where the mob, as it were, was after Paul, where they'd risen up against him. Now, Paul had done some good things, and he winds up here in the city of Ephesus. But he's basically having to run because they're plaguing him, they're following him, they're coming after him. And we find if we look down in verse 24, there's a certain man named Demetrius. He's a silversmith. And you notice here, he's involved for gain is what it amounts to. And Paul here is trying to come in with the gospel, and the mob comes out, picking it up in verse 32 of chapter 19. Some therefore cried one thing and some another. Boy, that's coming, isn't it? For the assembly was confused. Mobs haven't changed much. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. I saw a reporter on the street not long ago in one of the news casts. And he was out there among the mob. I'm talking about the mob, and they are a mob, and I call them that because they're breaking car windows and door windows, and they're stopping traffic, and they're doing all of that and clawing and beating on the Supreme Court door. That's a mob. You can't call them anything else. That's maybe useful idiots is the best next thing, but that's what they are. That's what it amounts to, no doubt about it. And I saw that sort sort of stuff there. And I hate to say it, but the reporter asked them, "What are you protesting?" And they said, "We don't know." Isn't that great? Herd mentality. Just go with the herd. Just be in the crowd. Just fit in and do what they're doing. Amen? And that's what I'm talking a little bit about. This is what was happening to Paul. And there's one thing about these mobs, these useful idiots, I'm going to call them. Maybe I'll drop that word in a minute. You pray for me. All of them have something common. I'm going to discuss, as time allows, some of the common things that this type of mob through history and still today have. To begin with, they have a desire for gain. See, I read that to you in verse 24. This silversmith was afraid his trade was going to go down. He was making shrines and idols to the goddess Diana, which was no god. And he was afraid if Paul came in with the truth, his business was going to hurt. It is amazing today when you can't understand why something's happening, look for George Washington behind it. Or Abe Lincoln. I'm talking about pictures that's on the money. I'm talking about look for the money behind it. That often throws a lot of light on what's going on. Here this mob was after Paul. They wanted gain. And they were confused. They one saying one thing, one saying another. They didn't know why they were together. They were just against him. They were following the propaganda or the fake news of the day to be after Paul here. But it all the mobs have something in common. Here's one that has the gain, and it's still that way today. You know, the threat now to America is socialism. Right here in our state, we got a problem, and I hope you're aware of it in the election. We got a socialist running for governor, and we got big mob money behind him. You better watch out for it. That's okay. Just sleep in on voting day, and you'll find out what I'm talking about before it's over with. It will affect you. But the truth is, here's a mob that wanted gain, and that's what they want today. They've been sold the lie of socialism. Do you know that all the revolutions, you go to Europe, you go to Russia, it all started with them lying and getting a mob in the street. You go back and study how Lenin took over. You go back and study the Marxism that was being taught back then, and you'll find, hey, the lie never pans out. It never does. And we find so many today that are still beguiled by that thing, just like they were here in this incident in Paul's life. Here in America, they've ignored the constitutional truth. Hopefully, they think they're going to gain something. They're going to lose, and going to lose their freedoms. I was so shocked. I've said it over and over. I say it again, that there was a big crowd willing to give up the presumption of innocent until proven guilty in this spectacle we had. Amazing how they quickly give up the constitutional rights that our forefathers fought and bled for to have such a mess we got today. I'm going to get something. I'm going to get the freebies. I'm going to get the stuff. And that's what's motivating. And it's a lie. It's a lie right out of hell. This socialistic lie that is being taught and what we see being demonstrated in the streets. All of them have something in common, a desire to get something and to get it free. Isn't it true? We see all the advertising today, free, free, free. Most of the time, there's a hook in it. Most of the time you find out it really wasn't free. There's a catch here, there's a catch there. It's been said there's no such thing as a free lunch. Well, I understand what they're saying there. You better watch out for the deception that is behind the thing, because the brainwashing is that if you'll get out here and help me take power, then I'll let you be rich with me. What a lie. What a lie. But we see the desire of gain right here in the text. And then I want to move on to say that in a situation like this, there's always a disdain for moral law. Do you understand that it's immoral to lie? You remember the Ten Commandments? Did somebody ever make you memorize the Ten Commandments? The ninth one says, "I shall not bear false witness." That's a lie. God hates a lie. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, if you were to go, don't go there now, but if you want to see who's in hell, Go to Revelation 21:8. There's a roll call, name, 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 that's in hell. You know what it says? It says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. I didn't write it. I'm telling you, that's what God said. You say, well, every man lies, and it's still a sin. It's still breaking God's law. And unless you have it forgiven by Christ that kept the law, you're in a heap of trouble. Because it says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you, you look it up. It's there, Revelation 21:8. They disdain, the mob in the street disdains moral law also. They lie. I've been saying here in the last few minutes, fake news, no doubt about it. Did you see this week where, now the president, I don't know where he gets his energy from, he goes around speaking everywhere, and I like it because he gets in their face. I like his guts. I may not like every word he says, some of them are a little more colorful than I use, but they understand him. I like that part. And if you saw this week, he was speaking in Ohio. Now, that's not Southern rebel gray state. It is a northern state. I have just decided here in the last number of years that it's a good state because we have several folks coming to our church from there. See, I'm an old Southern boy. In the early years when I first started preaching, I didn't really think about Northerners getting saved. It was just Southerners I was trying to reach. I'm playing with some of you folks. I want you to know I have repented over that. In fact, I believe that Yankees can go to heaven. I do believe there'll be a separate place for them up there, but... All right, come on back. I just couldn't avoid the temptation. But the president was speaking. I started to say preaching, but pretty close to it. He was speaking in Ohio. And I don't know how he got off on it. He can get off on anything real quick, but I don't know how he got off on it. I got just a little bit of it on a rerun on the news. But anyway, on the news, he was praising Robert E. Lee, but then he switched to praise useless S. Grant. I had to do that. Anyway, he told how Robert E. Lee won. And by the way, the South won the battles, but the North won the war. I never figured that one out, but that's the way it happened. But anyway, he was talking about what a good General Lee was, and then he switched over and he talked about what a good General Grant was. And my son's pastoring up in Grantville, named after President Grant. He did become president later. But anyway, he said something good about Lee. He said something good about Grant. But the news media only took what he said good about Lee and cut the other. Now, that's false witness. That's fake news. That's a lie. That's mistreatment. That's unfair. That's unjust. And that's the sort of stuff that American people now are picking up on and seeing that kind of a treatment. Here, the mob in the street, they disdain the moral law. They don't mind lying. And the leaders always want violence. Check any revolution in Europe, Russia, anywhere, Cuba, anywhere you want to. They all want violence. We heard in the news this week, Hillary said we won't be civil till we get back in power. Did anybody see that? That's amazing. We can't treat you civil if we're not in power. We got to get back in power. And Eric Holder, the attorney general, displaced now, thank God. But he said when they go low, we kick them, remember? And then Cory Booker said, people get in the face of your senators. And then Maxine Waters, who could forget her? Sending everybody into the restaurants, to mobs into the restaurant to harass people. You say, I didn't come to church for this. You can leave in a minute. If you leave right now, we know why you're leaving. So don't do that, amen? You can hide for a while. Listen, leaders of revolutions and socialism and communism always inspire violence. And it always starts in the street. And it's an awful thing. While I'm joking around a little bit, it's a bad thing, folks. You'll always find they disdain the decency and the respect that we ought to have as citizens and human beings with each other. You know, it used to be, and some of you Northerners, listen to me. Do you remember when you would come down south and go back north and talk about Southern hospitality? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not what it used to be, no doubt, but it's still not too bad. I remember my wife and I hadn't been married very long. Of course, I was born in Georgia, and she went to school most of her time up in Detroit, Michigan, up north, and we got married. She came down here as a missionary, and I got saved, and we got married, and we was taking a trip up into Georgia, and back then, we were on the older roads, not out on the interstate, and we're driving through the countrysides, and everybody on the front porch or out in the yard or in the field, they wave at you, and I wave back. And she said, "You know all those people?" I said, "No, but you're in a different place now. We're all friends down here. We have some hospitality. We care. You know what I'm talking about? They wave at you, and you wave back. It's okay. If you walk by and somebody's trying to pick up something heavy, you help them. I mean, that was a thing. But I want to tell you, decency and respect is gone now. And it's a terrible atmosphere that exists out there. It shouldn't exist that way. I heard about a little boy this week. I forget the school district, but he was punished in school for what he said. Here's what he said. You won't believe this. He said, "Yes, ma'am," to the teacher. "Yes, ma'am." And she was greatly offended because, see, that Southern hospitality borders on racism and class, gender, and the fact that I'm a woman. You said ma'am to me. No, it was common respect. It was decency. It's what I was taught to say when I went to school. And we look at this kind of stupid stuff going on right now, and we're seeing that what's happening is the moral laws of God are being discarded, and human beings can't be civil to each other anymore. It's an amazing thing that's going on. I saw another case, and you better check this out. Now, we have a Christian school here, and we have it on purpose. But some of the localities around here may not be so bad, but you ought to see what's going on nationally. For instance, kindergartens, and I read about one this week, had drag queens come in to read the story in kindergarten. Some of the curriculum, as low as kindergarten, is teaching transgender doctrine. Folks, somebody's trying to change America. Trying to change common decency, common moral law, common truth that was accepted for so long. And a mob don't care about the moral law. They don't care about the lie. They're just out there for some gain, and they disdain that is decent. It's an amazing thing. But I want to say to you, the mob don't win in the long run. Oh, yeah, I see what you do. I detest it. When I call them useful idiots, I'm not too far off base, because they haven't got the truth inside of them. They're misled, they're deceived, and in the long run, they're going to lose. They're going to lose here. They're certainly going to lose with God in the long run, but they even lose right here. The destiny of the multitudes. They're fooled across the planet. You look at some places. Venezuela's top of the list now because it's in the news. It's just amazing. They're starving to death over there, having to cross the borders to even get food from another nation. Nicaragua, I was talking with a missionary this week, and he was telling how the man came in, and now he's turned into a dictator, and he's killing people, and people are having to leave, and how bad it is, all under the guise of socialism. Put me in power and you'll get something. Oh, you get something, all right. Not what you expected. It happened in Russia. How about Cuba? Not too far from us. Fidel Castro promised all kind of stuff. What did he deliver? That's the promise, empty promise of socialism, Communism. It's a terrible thing. And freedoms are lost. Now, in America right now, our freedoms have been under attack. We are fighting it off. Most often, you think of the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, and that is very, very important, no doubt about it. If you want to see how bad it is when you get disarmed, look up what's happening right now in South Africa. Why the farms owned by families for years, when the dictatorship came in, they started getting the guns because a lot of those farms had to protect themselves. And you go over now and see what's being destroyed, and what's happening is the productive farm is being destroyed, and therefore the economy is going down. It always follows the same pattern. In this modern world where you can pick up information so fast, the trouble is so much of it has been camouflaged and spun, and you're deceived if you're not careful. It's going on across the planet. It is an amazing thing, but freedom's lost. Not only the right to bear arms, but property rights. Do you know what that means? It means you got a right to earn something and keep it. I mean, you go to Russia right now and other places, and it's a little better now than it was as they moved a little bit more into capitalism. But the truth is, there was no incentive to work because I can't keep it if I earn it. I got to give it up. That don't work very long. You see, here's the thing. When it takes over in a place, it goes to the wage earners, to the folks that are working and producing something, and it stops them from producing, and pretty soon what they've already produced is used up, and everybody's into poverty. That's the way it works. So I didn't want a civics lesson. You need one if you didn't know that. The truth is, you can't stop the wage earner and keep an economy in a country going. It's as simple as that. Somebody's got to earn the way. Do you know that government don't produce a thing? They can only take from those that have produced. And when they take it all, then they got nothing left. And that's the fight on right now. You see, the multitude, the mob that's been deceived, they're fooled across the planet. They lost their freedoms. You say, well, what's behind it all, preacher? The Bible tells you there's a global plan behind it, a global one-worldism. That's the plan. You know why the president's hated so much right now? Because the crowd that was in there was moving us to globalism. They were moving us to the one-world system. And all of a sudden, America has balked. All of a sudden, somebody's saying America first. All of a sudden, somebody's saying we won't pay your bills any longer like we've been doing. All of a sudden, it's a monkey ranch thrown in. It's fouling things up, and that's why the hate's so involved, and the spin is so bad, and the fake news is going nuts, because all of a sudden, we're rebelling on the global plan. That's what it amounts to. Your Bible will tell you that's the long-range plan. Trump has caused America now to be the holdout, saying America first. You see, if you read this Bible from cover to cover, there's a warfare going on between God and the devil, between his kingdom and the Lord's kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? Did you ever memorize the Lord's Prayer? Did you go to school? Are you old enough to go to school when you could still pray in school? And when the class would stand and in unison say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You remember that? You remember saying, Thy kingdom come, be on earth as it is in heaven. Do you remember saying that? There is a kingdom coming. Jesus is going to bring his kingdom. But the world kingdom is against that. And the devil and his antichrist is trying to put together a global kingdom that is opposite from what Jesus will have. That's what all the deception's about. That's what all the lying's about. That's what the mob in the street has been sold on, even though many of them don't know why they're out there and what their purpose is. They're contributing to anti-Godism. Antichrist is what is going on. It's a kingdom fight, folks. It's a kingdom fight. I rejoice to see Pastor Brunson brought home. In fact, I don't know how many of you saw the scene. He was in the Oval Office and prayed with the president. Isn't that great? A falsely accused pastor over there in Turkey. And Do you know what they accused him of? Now get this. Get this. They accused him of Christian doctrine. Now he's Presbyterian, but pretty close with us on the Bible and Baptists on this doctrine, what I just said. They accused him. One of the charges against him was that he believed in bringing in another kingdom. Yes, he does, if he believes Christian doctrine, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, when God's Son rules on this earth. You can charge me with that. You can charge any pastor that believes the Bible with that, no doubt about it. And the truth is, you got a bunch of useful idiots out there that don't understand what's going on. And they're being used, big time being used, no doubt about it. There's a kingdom fight going. Yeah, I was glad to see Pastor Brunson come in, but you just remember he was charged. His charges in Turkey was Christian doctrine, that he thought another kingdom ought to come, and if another kingdom come, it would replace the kingdom, so-called, of the political kingdom of Turkey. Well, I got news for you. It's going to replace all of them when it comes, and it is coming. It is coming, no doubt about it. When you hear the gospel that Jesus Christ was God's Son, sent from heaven to die on a cross to pay for your sins, that if you believe on him, you can be saved and one day face God as though you never sinned, you hear that there's another part to it, and that is that he's going to also rule and reign on planet Earth for 1,000 years. He's going to set up his kingdom down here. Or you read about it in Matthew 25, where the nations are going to have to come before him. Oh, yeah, very real. That's where the battle's at right now. So it's important who you vote for. It's important where our government stands. You know what I'd like to believe? I said I'd like to believe it. I'd like to believe that America could escape going in and joining up with this Antichrist group. This group that's going to finally face Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. And Jesus is going to win. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to win. You read Revelation chapter 19. He comes back leading the armies of heaven. He has to do battle in the area of Jerusalem against the very creation that he made, because they're going to be on the Antichrist side. That's going to happen. Right now, that'll explain a lot if you'll just get in your Bible and see what's going on. What's going on? Yes, he's coming back. He is going to set up his kingdom. And when you receive him as Lord and Savior, you can be part of his kingdom, or you can reject him and be here to be against him. And if that takes place, and there's no reason it couldn't take place very soon, you find yourself fighting God or on God's side. So, oh, I don't see why it's important to accept Jesus. I don't see why it's important to be a Christian. You will one day, especially you younger folks. You're going to live to see what this preacher's talking to you about this morning. It's Bible. It will be fulfilled. It will happen just like it said. And bless God, I've already read who the winner is, and I'm on his side. Amen. Amen. Revelation 19, yeah, it's real. I'm casting my vote for Jesus. I'm going to cast my vote for those that are for him, not those that are against him. Because I recognize one day it's going to be important where he finds me standing for him or against him. You know, this is not a hard truth. It's through the Bible easy enough to get a hold of. You remember on the crucifixion day, Christ is on the cross in the middle. There's a thief on each side. Both of them belong there. They were criminals. One of them confessed that. But then one of them repented, remember? What did he say? Lord, rememberest thou me when thou comest into thy what? Kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is coming. There's a world united to stop him. They don't know it, but they're doing the Antichrist bidding. And one day, they're going to find themselves on the losing side. The thief was smart enough to say, rememberest thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus corrected him a little bit to say this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. You'll be in paradise with me a while, but my kingdom is coming. And you were right to recognize it is coming. And it is coming. And that's what I'm talking to you about today. It throws a whole lot of light on all the mob foolishness, all the stupidness that's going on today. When you understand the battle is whose kingdom is going to win. And I'm going to tell you, he's not only my Savior, he's my coming King. He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth. Is he yours? Got to be your Savior before he can be your coming King. You say, I'm just waiting and watching. You do it too long, and you won't have a chance to switch. Long time ago, I heard the good news that God loved me in spite of my sins and paid a price I couldn't pay. And if I'd received his son, that payment would go to me and pay off my sins. And he'd write my name in heaven's book. He's done that. And what I've been doing ever since is try to tell others the good news I heard. Told you this morning. You have a chance this morning to come receive Christ as your Savior. Or you have a chance to say no to him. You'll do one or the other. If you haven't received him, you'll say, I'm not going to do it today. Then you're saying no. Don't kid yourself. The scripture says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You condemn yourself already when you say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do that today. If you've never received him, you're in his house, you heard a preacher that is as plain as you're going to ever hear from the Word of God, you have the opportunity to come and receive Christ. I pray that you will. Let's bow our heads. With heads bowed, how many of you can say, preacher, I'm saved. I know it. I know when I received Jesus. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven because of him. Can you lift that hand as a testimony? Can you do it? Glad to do it? Yes. Amen. Thank you. May put them down. Are you here and you'd say, preacher, when you pray, think about me because I'm not saved. If I died today, I know I wouldn't go to heaven. I'm lost. Would you lift that hand now? I won't come to you. I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you. But I'll have you in mind when I pray. Would you lift that hand? I care for my soul. I'd like to be saved. Would you lift that hand anywhere in the building? Very well, let's stand. Father, we commit the invitation to you. We pray, Father, you'd help us to understand the times we live in, what's going on, and Father, not to be swayed by a crowd that don't even know what they're doing in the streets. They don't even know what is important and what is right, and how they've been deceived. We pray for their souls. Help us, Lord, to be too wise to be part of it, but to stand on high ground and tell them there's a way out, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray you'd bless the invitation now. May somebody be here that needs to join the church, or maybe they've been saved and never baptized, and they can come for that. Lord, just speak to their hearts, and I pray they'll say yes to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it. Just as